Chapter 3. Carry to their trowels, or sell for a trifle. By this means, our butchers, our bakers, our poulterers, and cheesemongers' bills are monstrously exaggerated. Not to mention candles just lighted, which sell for 5 pence a pound, and many other perquisites best known to themselves, and the pilfering villains their confederates. Add to this, that their continual gaming sets servants upon their wits to supply this extravagance, though at the same time the master's pocket pays for it, and the time which should be spent in the gentleman's service is loitered away among these rascals, insomuch that half our messages are ineffectual, the time intended being often expired before the message is delivered. How many frequent robberies are committed by these Japanners? And to how many more are they confederates? Silver spoons, spurs, and other small pieces of plate are every day missing, and very often found upon these sort of gentlemen. Yet are they permitted, to the shame of all our good laws, and the scandal of our most excellent government, to lurk about our streets, to debauch our servants and apprentices, and support an infinite number of scandalous, shameless trolls, yet more wicked than themselves, for not a jack among them, but must have his gill, by whom such indecencies are daily acted, even in our open streets, as are very offensive to the eyes and ears of all sober persons, and even abominable in a Christian country. In any riot, or other disturbance, these sparks are always the foremost, for most among them can turn their hands to picking of pockets, to run away with goods from a fire, or other public confusion, to snatch anything from a woman or child, to strip a house, when the door is open, or any other branch of a thief's profession. In short, it is a nursery for thieves and villains. Modest women are every day insulted by them and their strumpets, and such children who run about the streets, or those servants who go on errands, do but too frequently bring home some scraps of their beastly profane wit, insomuch that the conversation of our lower rank of people runs only upon body and blasphemy, notwithstanding our societies for reformation, and our laws in force against profaneness. For this lazy life gets them many proselytes, their numbers daily increasing from runaway apprentices and footboys, insomuch that it is a very hard matter for a gentleman to get him a servant, or for a tradesman to find an apprentice. Innumerable other mischiefs accrue, and others will spring up from this race of caterpillars, who must be swept from out our streets, or we shall be overrun with all manner of wickedness. But the subject is so low, it becomes disagreeable even to myself. Give me leave, therefore, to propose a way to clear the streets of these vermin, and to substitute as many honest industrious persons in their stead, who are now starving for want of bread, while these execrable villains live, though in rags and nastiness, yet in plenty and luxury. I, therefore, humbly propose that these vagabonds be put immediately under the command of such taskmasters as the government shall appoint, and that they be employed, punished, or rewarded, according to their capacities and demerits. That is to say, the industrious and docile to woolcombing, and other parts of the woolen manufacture, where hands are wanted, as also to husbandry, and other parts of agriculture. For it is evident that there are scarce hands enough in the country to carry on either of these affairs. Now, these vagabonds might not only by this means be kept out of harm's way, but be rendered serviceable to the nation. Nor is there any need of transporting them beyond seas, for if any are refractory they should be sent to our stannaries and other mines, to our coal works and other places where hard labor is required. And here I must offer one thing never yet thought of, or proposed by any, and that is, the keeping in due repair the navigation of the River Thames, so useful to our trade in general, and yet of late years such vast hills of sand are gathered together in several parts of the river, as are very prejudicial to its navigation, one which is near London Bridge, another near Whitehall, a third near Battersea, and a fourth near Fulham. These are a very great hindrance to the navigation, and indeed the removal of the mud to be a national concern, which I humbly propose, may be thus effected. The rebellious part of these vagabonds, as also other thieves and offenders, should be formed in two bodies under the command of proper officers, and under the guard and awe of our soldiery. These should every day at low water carry away these sandhills, and remove every other obstruction to the navigation of this most excellent and useful river. It may be objected that the ballast men might do this, that as fast as the hills are taken away they would gather together again, or that the watermen might do it. To the first, I answer, that ballast men, instead of taking away from these hills, make holes in other places of the river, which is the reason so many young persons are drowned when swimming or bathing in the river. Besides, it is a work for many hands, and of long continuance, so that ballast men do more harm than good. The second objection is as silly, as if I should never wash myself, because I shall be dirty again, and I think needs no other answer. And as to the third objection, the watermen are not so public-spirited, they live only from hand to mouth, though not one of them, but finds the inconvenience of these hills, every day being obliged to go a great way round about for fear of running aground, insomuch that in a few years the navigation of that part of the river will be entirely obstructed. Nevertheless, every one of these gentlemen watermen hopes it will last his time, and so they all cry, "The devil take the hindmost." But yet I judge it highly necessary that this be made a national concern, like Dagenham Breach, and that these hills be removed by some means or other. And now I have mentioned watermen, give me leave to complain of the insolences and exactions they daily commit on the River Thames, and in particular this one instance, which cries aloud for justice. A young lady of distinction, in company with her brother, a little youth, took a pair of oars at or near the Temple, on April day last, and ordered the men to carry them to Pepper Alley Stairs. One of the fellows, according to their usual impertinence, asked the lady where she was going. She answered, "Near St. Olave's Church." Upon which he said, "She had better go through the bridge." The lady replied she had never gone through the bridge in her life, nor would she venture for 100 guineas, so commanded him once more to land her at Pepper Alley Stairs. Notwithstanding which, in spite of her fears, threats, and commands, nay, in spite of the persuasion of his fellow, he forced her through London Bridge, which frightened her beyond expression. And to mend the matter, he obliged her to pay double fare, and mobbed her into the bargain. To resent which abuse, application was made to the hall, the fellow summoned, and the lady ordered to attend, which she did, waiting there all the morning, and was appointed to call again in the afternoon. She came accordingly, they told her the fellow had been there, but was gone, and that she must attend another Friday. She attended again and again, but to the same purpose. Nor have they yet produced the man, but tired out the lady, who has spent above 10 shillings in coach hire, been abused and baffled into the bargain. It is pity, therefore, there are not commissioners for watermen, as there are for hackney coachmen, or that justices of the peace might not inflict bodily penalties on watermen thus offending. But while watermen are watermen's judges, I shall laugh at those who carry their complaints to the hall. The usual plea in behalf of abusive watermen is that they are drunk, ignorant, or poor, but will that satisfy the party aggrieved, or deter the offender from reoffending? Whereas were the offenders sent to the house of correction, and there punished, or sentenced to work at the sandhills aforementioned, for a time suitable to the nature of their crimes, terror of such punishments would make them fearful of offending, to the great quiet of the subject. Now, it may be asked, how shall we have our shoes cleaned, or how are these industrious poor to be maintained? To this I answer, that the places of these vagabonds may be very well supplied by great numbers of ancient persons, poor widows, and others, who have not enough from their respective parishes to maintain them. These poor people I would have authorized and stationed by the justices of the peace or other magistrates, Each of these should have a particular walker stand, and no other shoe cleaner should come into that walk, unless the person misbehave and be removed. Nor should any person clean shoes in the streets, but these authorized shoe cleaners, who should have some mark of distinction, and be under the immediate government of the justices of the peace. Thus would many thousands of poor people be provided for, without burthening their parishes. Some of these may earn a shilling or two in the day, and none less than sixpence, or thereabouts. And lest the old Japanners should appear again, in the shape of link boys, and knock down gentlemen in drink, or lead others out of the way into dark remote places, where they either put out their lights, and drop them themselves, or run away, and leave them to be pillaged by others, as is daily practiced, I would have no person carry a link for hire, but some of these industrious poor, and even such, not without some ticket or badge, to let people know whom they trust. Thus would the streets be cleared night and day of these vermin, nor would oaths, skirmishes, blasphemy, obscene talk, or other wicked examples, be so public and frequent. All gaming at orange and gingerbread barrows should be abolished, as also all penny and halfpenny lotteries, thimbles, and balls, and see so frequent in Moorfields, Lincoln's Inn Fields, and see where idle fellows resort, to play with children and apprentices, and tempt them to steal their parents' or masters' money. There is one admirable custom in the city of London, which I could wish were imitated in the city and liberties of Westminster, and bills of mortality, which is, no porter can carry a burthen or letter in the city, unless he be a ticket porter. Whereas, out of the freedom part of London, any person may take a knot and turn porter, till he be entrusted with something of value, and then you never hear of him more. This is very common, and ought to be amended. I would, therefore, have all porters under some such regulation as coachman, chairman, carman, and a man may then know whom he entrusts, and not run the risk of losing his goods, and I would not have a person carry a basket in the markets, who is not subject to some such regulation. For very many persons oftentimes lose their dinners in sending their meat home by persons they know nothing of. Thus would all our poor be stationed, and a man or woman able to perform any of these offices must either comply, or be termed an idle vagrant, and sent to a place where they shall be forced to work. By this means industry will be encouraged, idleness punished, and we shall be famed, as well as happy for our tranquility and decorum. End of the project Gutenberg text. Everybody's business is nobody's business. Ebda by Gutenberg edition.